Vinadoshaviradrishtim
Antarina vachastava
Nishreyasam katam nimram Nishera vidilakshanam Vinadoshaviradrishtim Antarina vachastava Nishreyasam katham nirnam Nishera vidirakshanam
Guna
Piety
Dosa
Sin
Vidha
The difference between Drishtim
Seeing
Antarena
Without
Vachaha
Words
Tava
Your
Nishreyasam,
perfection of life,
liberation.
Katam,
how is it possible?
Nirnam,
for human beings.
Nisheda,
prohibitions.
Viti,
positive injunctions.
Lakshanam,
characterized by.
Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Without seeing the difference between piety and sin, how can one understand your own instructions in the form of Vedic literatures? Which order one to act piously and forbid one to act sinfully? Furthermore, without such authorized Vedic literatures, which ultimately award liberation, how can human beings achieve the perfection of life? Translation responsibly. Without seeing the difference between piety and sin, how can one understand your instructions, your own instructions, in the form of Vedic literatures, which order one to act piously
and forbid one to act sinfully?
Furthermore,
without such authorized Vedic literatures,
which ultimately award liberation,
how can human beings achieve the perfection of life?
If one does not accept the necessity of performing pious activities and avoiding sinful activities, it becomes very difficult to understand authorized religious scriptures. And without such scriptures, how can human beings attain salvation? This is the essence of Sri Uddhava's question.
Om Ajnana Timurandasya Ajnanandina Salakaya Chakshur Manitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Jaitanya Murabhisam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Vibhakaramayam Tadati Swaparantikam Vansha Kalpa Trivrishya Kripa Sindhubya Eva Chapatitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
So here we're continuing with Uddhava's questions to Krishna concerning what Krishna has just concluded in the previous chapter, chapter 19. Krishna has been previously describing the qualities that one needs to acquire or to show in order to be included as being a human being and belonging to a system that Krishna has created. So Krishna, even before that, was explaining the Vanashram system, and therefore his whole elaboration is what Uddhava is basing his question on. Krishna, in text 40 to 45, is explaining different qualities that he would rather have human civilization to have in order to gradually elevate them to a state of bhakti, which is what he'll be discussing in this chapter. So Uddhava is a bit perplexed, but of course Uddhava is playing along with Krishna's plan so that Krishna can speak the glories of Bhakti Yoga. So Uddhava is asking Krishna, how is it that you have been glorifying all these qualities? You've been explaining about pious activities, and you've been explaining about sinful activities and what we should strive for. And then Krishna, you at the end of it, you say that we should actually transcend all these pious activities. So what is the point of you speaking all this knowledge, and what is the point of actually the Vedic literatures? So Uddhava is posing this to Krishna in such a way that Krishna is going to elaborately explain the shortcomings of fruitive activities, even of attachment to renunciation and knowledge at the same time. So these are all things that Krishna himself has been explaining as very opulent. Krishna has been explaining as desirable. And then at the end of the chapter, as Krishna normally does, even at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, just forget what I've said. The ultimate goal of life is not to attain, not to be a perfectionist in your jnana yoga or in your karma yoga, but is to actually perfect bhakti yoga, your relationship with Krishna. So it is important that we understand why Krishna is explaining the difference between piety and sin. Krishna has many qualities. He's very magnanimous. He's everyone's well-wisher. Krishna is also extremely kind, because Krishna facilitates our desire. Of course, as we know, the living entity desired so much to be separate from Krishna. So our desires has landed us in a situation where Krishna has to facilitate the creation of a material condition of life, the material universe, material elements in their gross and subtle forms, so that we may come and try and be the Ishvaras, may try and be the controllers. And Krishna is the only one, actually, we do know that Krishna Ishvara, so Krishna is the only controller, Krishna is the only enjoyer, and all sacrifices are meant for Krishna. But the living entity, in a spirit of enjoying, in a spirit of I am the doer, the living entity impels Krishna to act in such a way that Krishna arranges materially a situation for us to come and be bewildered by his material energy. And at the same time, Krishna arranges a system within the material scope of things that we can actually become liberated. So Krishna is going to explain how he's gradually going to give different processes so that people, human civilization, can gradually rise from just being normal human, pious human beings to actually taking on spiritual understanding. What you speak of not understanding the qualities just of belonging to a human class of civilization, being honest, being equipoised, being tolerant, being religious. If we cannot get to that platform, how are we going to understand subject matters that deal with liberation? So Krishna is going to respond in the later verses by explaining, I'm giving these three systems, and these are the only three systems that can actually take you out of material suffering. So Krishna, in this chapter, as the summary has been explaining, Krishna is going to speak jnana, karma, and ultimately glorify bhakti yoga as the topmost supreme process of self-realization. So I'll just go back and just read some of what Krishna was saying in the previous chapter, which we can then analyze for ourselves and see just how well we're doing or how ridiculously we're failing. It's quite interesting, in text 44 of the previous verse, 36 to 39, the first line of the purport explains that Lord Krishna here describes those qualities that are desirable for persons advancing in human life. And the first one that Krishna is explaining is shama, mental equilibrium. So if you just look around us, if we just analyze the situation in Kali Yuga, who's mentally equipoised, who actually has mental equilibrium. And this is just qualities that are meant for one to advance in human life, just on a material platform. What to speak of spiritual qualities? So this is not the end goal of everything. Being extremely pious, of course, is not the end goal, but Krishna says, in the beginning, your foundation should be these attributes so that, you know, you have a firm foundation and then you can gradually inquire into matters about liberation. So just as the previous class givers has been speaking, His Holiness Deva Mitra Swami was explaining how in the circus you have a trapeze artist. And at the bottom, of course, you have a safety net. And if, you know, you space out a bit or you lose balance, you fall back onto the net and there's some safety there. So Krishna, although he's going to give us the topmost yoga system, Krishna starts explaining how there are other systems that I can give you that will shelter you in your advancement in spiritual pursuits. Therefore, he has jnana and karma, which ultimately have the end result, which is to understand who Krishna is. So the 100%, you know, goal of yoga is not to perfect your knowledge, it's not to perfect your renunciation, but it's to actually attach all that you're doing to Krishna. So if you're highly intelligent or if you're performing activities, why not just dedicate that to Krishna? So this is how Krishna gradually, in his state of being extremely merciful and extremely kind, because there's no element of force with the Supreme Lord, he gives different systems so that we gradually get elevated. And even more so, what he's been previously discussing, the Vanashram system, Krishna has been explaining that, yes, this Vanashram system was made by me. This is a material system that is meant for materially afflicted people. People who are in a diseased condition of Kali Yuga madness. This is my system for you to gradually get out of it. So I give you a system to get bewildered and I give you a system to get liberated at the same time. So this is something that we actually have to accept. We cannot manufacture our own system of liberation, that we have entire volumes of Vedic literatures that are explaining different philosophical truths, how to get elevated, how to practice Ashtanga yoga, how to steady the mind. All these things are already given. So there should be no scope really for us to try and concoct perfection of life. But of course, as we know, as things are going on in this world today, there's everyone's own school of thought. So we have Swarup Yoga, in which you have your own mantras for self-realization and you have your own process of controlling your mind. And that can be, you know, sitting in a corner or watching the one-eyed guru or reading a little bit of tantric yoga here, taking a little bit from Kundalini, doing a few, you know, whatever. Taking a little bit from here, and then that's something that you often find in society. People say, oh, I don't reject anything. I just take a little bit from here and a little bit from there. Well, basically what they're saying is, I just concoct my own philosophy. That's just the bottom line of it. It's basically we're trying to say, I'm going to perform dharma according to my rules and regulations, according to what I see fit. Although I'm a conditioned soul, although I cannot see past, present, future, although I cannot remember what I did, you know, in my previous birth, what to speak of, you know, what I did last week, I cannot see or hear, I have to wear, you know, what do you call this, hearing aids, I need glasses, I cannot see properly, but still I'm going to manufacture my own system of perfection of life. And it's going to be so perfect that it's going to take me beyond, you know, material illusion, material suffering. So this is the mantra for the age of Kali Yuga, for those who want to remain attached to suffering. So these distinctions that Uddhava wants Krishna to clarify, it's very interesting because so many people think that they're actually pious, right? People walk around and this is not, of course, in a judgmental manner, but, you know, sometimes we just have to be real with ourselves and we have to be honest. But most of the time, it's very hard to actually be honest with ourselves. You know, once we look at the mirror, it's like, not really, but, you know, I'm going on with life. So we manufacture our own things, and we strive to be good people, we strive to be good citizens, good this and that, but our activities don't actually match up. It just doesn't gel. Most of the time we call ourselves very pious and we give in charity and, you know, we help someone cross the road who's of elderly age and, you know, we wish everyone well. But then our other activities show the opposite. If you just analyze on a daily basis, even just during the day, you can see people committing so many sinful activities. And sin, you know, it just doesn't pertain to, you know, killing someone and, you know, slaughtering people, you know, mass murderers and so many gross things, but sinful activities, you know, are even subtle on a subtle level. And sometimes you'll find in Srimad Bhagavatam, sinful life is referred to that which brings misery. Sinful activities is what brings you suffering. If you're suffering, then you know that you're actually sinful. So you find, you can see, you don't have to ask, sometimes you can see people are very miserable. They're not happy with themselves, they're not happy with what's around them. But at the same time, they pose themselves as being very pious, as being very happy and being religious once a week or once a month or once a year. But this is, of course, not true. And this, of course, is just due to the fact that we don't have any, we're not following any regulations, we're not following any prescriptions. We're manufacturing our own dharma out of nowhere, out of thin air. Therefore, there's no strong connection with Krishna or the Supreme Lord, whomever he may be. Therefore, we start suffering. And the minute we try and introduce, you know, any kind of prescribed duty, any kind of regulation in one's life, then that's seen as being a fanatic. And it will explain in the later purports. You have some people who are very attracted and attached to moral codes of conduct, and if you bring about any kind of religious or spiritual understanding, which obviously will always have do's and don'ts, will always have regulations in them, they see that as being restrictive, they see it as being inhumane, they see it as being very dry. So basically what Uddhava here is going to bring about is that we should know these sinful activities and we should know what piety is, but at the same time he's urging Krishna to explain that actually after we understand what piety and sinful activities are, we're actually supposed to transcend all these qualities. The goal of life is just not to be peaceful, it's not to be religious or tolerant or all these things, it's to transcend all of these, because these are This material system that's given to try and help us is not the end goal of it. We have to break out of this material system that Krishna himself is giving. So the reason why we actually take to these prescriptions that Krishna is giving, although it starts off on a scale where it's helping us in our material life, it's helping us become, you know, more aware of the gross and subtle body, Krishna is doing that to help us understand, okay, gradually I'm molding your life so that you can understand subject matters that are beyond the mind, the body, and the senses. So unless we just start understanding the basics, unless we bring ourselves to understanding the basics about existence, then we cannot actually go further in inquiring about Brahman. You know, we can't just hit someone with Aham Brahmasmi without them understanding so many other subject matters. We cannot quickly jump to the 12th canto without understanding systematically how Krishna is explaining everything in the entire creation. So this is a systematic analysis of everything. This is a systematic analysis of Krishna's perfect system. Krishna's perfect system of getting us into a state of inquiring about liberation. So in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is explaining how, according to the desires of the different living entities, he will reciprocate with them accordingly, Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse, and it's very much important that we sometimes try and understand why, or we take a lot of focus on verses that Srila Prabhupada would quote in his text or in his purport. So in 4.11, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akarma sava karmava moksha kama udharadi tivena bhakti yogena yajate purusham param. So Krishna is stating, whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all future results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. So whatever it is that we're actually desiring, the Vedic literature themselves, and whatever Krishna speaks also directly, is the Vedas. So whatever Krishna is saying, we should take as extremely important. So Krishna is saying, whether we're devotees or in Bhakti Yoga, or whether we're devotees in Jnana Yoga, or trying to merge with Krishna, or whatever system that Krishna has prescribed, actually, if we want complete perfection, we should focus on Him at the same time. So we can't have a separatist mentality. We cannot actually separate anything from Krishna. Even within the material sphere, all the ingredients that we get, it's all coming from Krishna. Gross, subtle, is all coming from Krishna. Whether we're worshipping the devatas, whether we're worshipping ancestors or the different elements, if we're striving for mystic perfections, these are all coming from Krishna. Krishna is providing all these elements. Because we're striving so hard to understand a certain aspect of Krishna, Krishna doesn't break His word. He says, I will reciprocate with you. So fine. I will give you the subtle elements for you to be able to control. I will give you the gross elements. In whichever yoga system I've given, if you take shelter of it, I will provide the necessities. But gradually, He also gives in His knowledge, in the Vedic literatures, Krishna explains that actually, if you want complete satisfaction, if you want the topmost truth, then just surrender to Me in Bhakti Yoga. Because the other processes we know, by themselves, single-handedly, they cannot actually award real liberation. And liberation not pertaining to, you know, just going to upper planetary systems. Liberation means that we actually understand that we're parts and parcels of Krishna, and we're Krishna's servant. That is actual liberation. Anything that does not meet that mark means, okay, we're still in a disjointed state of existence. We're still not connected with Krishna, because our eternal constitution is that we are eternally constituted with Krishna. There is no way the part can survive without the whole. There's no possibility at all. Although we've been trying for, you know, birth after birth, we're trying to actually be separated from the whole, but we are failing miserably. So there's no way that we can actually be separated from the whole, and we cannot be happy in this endeavor. So what Krishna has come to explain, of course, is just basic understanding. If you've studied the previous chapter, I'll just read some of the... I just mentioned one. Qualities that Krishna says that one should try to have if one wants to advance in human life. Mental equilibrium, discipline of the senses and self-control. Tolerance, And the description of tolerance is patiently enduring unhappiness. So even just for someone who wants to advise in human civilization, just to do these first three things is going to be quite difficult. And we can see most people are not so tolerant. Even if you just do something small, like step on someone's foot accidentally, you walk into a tram and you kind of step on someone or do something, they'll just jump at you. Any excuse to exercise the Kali Yuga qualities of being always disturbed. Sense, controlling the senses, this is actually a very important discipline. And this is where Kali Yuga is falling slightly back, or the Kali Yuga refugees, so to say, are being actually exhausted by lack of sense control. If we just analyze what people are eating, what people are hearing, what they are exposing their senses to, everything is just uncontrolled. And it doesn't matter these days, during the day, during the night, it just happens anytime. And sometimes we may see, if we're coming from a very cultured, a very protected family, we go out on the streets, different parts of the world, and you see how there's no discipline, how there's no sense control, starting with the tongue. So if we can't even eat properly, if you can't even, you know, hear the proper things, then what do you think is going to be the end result of our existence? We'll be in complete illusion, we'll be in complete denial of our real identity. So we also have so many subtle ways in which all these different things are coming out. When we speak of envy, when we speak of jealousy, even amongst so-called friends and nations, corporations, we understand that in the corporate world, you know, it's money comes first. Even if you're dealing with your brother or you're dealing with your, you know, extended family members, but in the name of wealth, in the name of prestige, in the name of fame, I come first and everyone else is subjected to my exploitation. And this is the unfortunate situation that we're faced with in Kali Yuga. And this is not something that we're speculating on or something that we're kind of thinking. This is something that is actually really happening. We can see in our daily lives, in our daily activities, so many stories come up. So many stories of, you know, people being mistreated by their families or being cheated just because someone wants name and fame. Wealth, control, power, dominion over others. There's one story that was given in one lecture I heard about one devotee who was in, I can't remember, somewhere in the Scandinavian countries, and this devotee had passed away, and he had left him a house, and he was thinking he was going to make a preaching center out of it, use it for Krishna's service. But his mother had other plans, and his uncle, they had other plans. They wanted that property for themselves. But legally it belongs to the son. So what happened is they tried to trick the son. And one thing that they don't know, that when one starts chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna takes control of your life. Krishna actually protects you, although we don't see it. We don't see Krishna coming there with an armor and saying, I'll be your hero. But it's, you know, in our everyday life, we can see how Krishna is protecting us on a gross level, on a subtle level. Krishna is always protecting us. So this devotee, her mother and the uncle invited him to come to the house for some dinner. And they poisoned his food. They actually spiked his food. And according to the doctors, he should have died. So he started eating. And then he just hit the floor, cramping like anything. And what did his mother do? And his uncle? In your face, die, die, die! Can you imagine? Your mother. So, your mother. someone who carried you in their womb, there's supposed to be a tight bond, there's supposed to be a relationship, there's supposed to be emotions. But you have her in your face, you're literally been poisoned by your own mother, and she's just saying, die, 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 die. And guess what? The son doesn't die. He doesn't die. I'm sure Krishna's just like, alright, yeah, let's see what's going to happen now. So the son goes to hospital, he's alright, and then the mother goes nuts. Because now she's confronted with her own son, and her son knows that my mother was trying to kill me to get this house that I just wanted to use as a preaching center. So his mother was just shameful, embarrassed, you know, no words could actually explain what she was like, and she actually went mentally insane. She couldn't handle the fact that her son knows that she just tried to kill him. So there's no rules and regulations for those who are trying to make the material energy their life and soul. When you have such a materialistic consciousness, it doesn't matter if someone is your son, it doesn't matter if someone is your husband, it doesn't matter. If someone is in the place, is in the way of your sense gratification, then go for it. That is your duty. That is your dharma. That's what people do. Their duty, their dharma is to do what they need to do so that their senses are pleased and fulfilled. And it doesn't matter if someone is your son or not. You just go for it. That is dharma. Go with your emotions, go with your feelings, go with your heart. Go with your emotions that are just messed up. Go with your senses that are uncontrolled. And go with an intoxicated mind and consciousness. But that is the real spirit of dharma. That's what people think is dharma. That's what people think is pious activity. But it's actually sinful, degraded life. Absolutely sinful, degraded life. And for such people, I mean, some of us were coming from such situations. It's not that a swan came and dropped us there and we were effulgent. Some of us have direct experience of such sinful activities. And by Krishna's mercy, as it will explain, that the Karma Yogi and the Jnani Yogi, somehow by Krishna's mercy, they can get liberated once they get into contact with the pure devotee. They can actually get liberation. That is the mercy of Krishna. So for some of us, that's what happened. We were engrossed in sinful activities and sinful lives. We had no idea of what actual piety was. We concocted our own thing. But by Krishna's mercy, He's giving us resources. He's giving us facilities that we can actually get out of this material system. So Krishna is our mother, Krishna is our father. Parents, normal, healthy parents would not put their children in situations that are so abominable that they can't actually get out of. So Krishna doesn't just throw us in the pit of material existence without a way in which we can actually get extricated from it. So as he says, he's given these three different systems so that the conditioned souls may gradually start understanding who he is and may go back home, back to Godhead. So this is what Krishna is going to elaborately explain in the next few verses. How yes, we get to understand sinful activities based on what he's given. Not on what we think, but based on his literature. And from then on, we transcend that. We even go higher into the topmost system of Bhakti Yoga. So I'll stop then and ask if there's any questions or comments. Mahatma Ji.
One comment, first of all, you're giving a very nice description. What people are having? Ignorance. That's why they don't want to follow any principles. Because they know they are body, so they want to enjoy their senses. So what we need, what Prabhupada said, we have to distribute more books, more knowledge, then only you realize. What you said is very, very important there. We have the association of a pure devotee, or at least a devotee who can tell them they are not body but they are I am Brahma, pure soul.
Yes,
so at this time we need lot of education. each and every one. The devotee is always trying to please Krishna by his senses, but they are trying to please their own senses. It's all ignorance.
So the best we can do is expose them to Krishna by prasadam distribution, book distribution, and Harinam Sankirtan every Tuesday and Friday outside of crossroads, just in case you're interested. Yes, Prajana?
You were talking about what he does self-centered and Jesus Christ in Mission Harinam. We made yesterday in Harinam. You passed by the exercise from 9. Mm-hmm. And then this new slow way happens, me, myself.
It's not just do it anymore?
That's it. Me, myself. What's the skill of finding a new spot? That's slow, me, myself.
Oh, wow. So, yes, it has been confirmed by Nike that, yes, the Vedic scriptures are true, that in Kali Yuga, we are just out to gratify the senses explicitly. So this is what we're up against. This is the mentality we're up against. Me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm.
And forget you, Krishna. Don't forget the devotees of the Lord. It's a very, actually, stuff like that, it's very subtle, but it's a very good way of nicely telling people that they're the body and the senses. Yes, what did he say? Oh yeah, it's a full-fledged preaching center now. Everything is all good. They went legally to the court and the judge did decide, yes, it belongs to the son. After all, that's what the father said. But yeah, the mother and the uncle couldn't live with themselves. It was a very tough situation for them. She literally went mentally insane after that event. Yeah, you know, maybe she was beforehand. She wasn't mentally all right.
Because if you're really connected to God, you really anticipate the act and what suffering or poison is like.
So what was that?
If you're really connected to God, it's a thought, not necessarily a comment. You would anticipate the murderous attack of your life from an assassin mother by poison. You'd kill a man off before it happened.
What, some food for thought?
Not necessarily lethally.
Yeah.
Just exterminated from being able to have the capacity.
It's
a very, very strong point in society today. Preemptive striking.
One thing that Krishna does very beautifully, and that's how he expresses his way of saying, I'm the Supreme Lord, I'm your well-wisher. Krishna glorifies his devotees. So sometimes Krishna arranges all these situations to show that in any circumstance he will protect his devotee. So sometimes we see so many abominable things happen. We see people going through difficult times, and then we're not only focusing on the immediate action of, oh my God, they try to kill him, whatever. Krishna glorifies his devotees. The devotees tolerate insults to the body. Devotees tolerate insults to the institution, to other so many things, but they always know that Krishna is my protector. Krishna is my mother. Krishna is my father. Just as a child knows Krishna is my mother, just as a child knows this is mom, this is dad. And come what may, even if I'm a number one, and you'll find it still, statistics show, even if you're a drug addict, even if you're a serial killer, the mother will always say, he's still my little boy. So Krishna allows certain things to happen in the life of his devotee to show his magnanimous quality. So Krishna puts the spotlight on his devotee to show his tolerance, his patience, his mercy. It's not like he walked off and said, there you go, ma, look at me, I got the preaching house now. No. The devotee just did the right thing, legally went to court, and of course everything is facilitated by Krishna. Krishna protected him physically, he protected his health, and his spiritual life as well. So sometimes it's not that we have to, Krishna can at any time intervene and we don't have to go through certain things, but most of the time Krishna allows us to show what a real Vaishnava is supposed to be, have the qualities of patience and tolerance and determination. Just to add on to what you were saying.
Now, there is an aspect of that I've observed in these matters, and that's the system goes, if you really intelligently observe it, including using psychic powers in particular, see chain reactions stop, it can go back 3 or 4 hundred years even more.
Yep.
Just your intelligence comes in. And a whole system can get knocked to the ground by something's not like this.
That's psychic stuff. That's still.
It seems to be extremely important. Any foul act has a massive repercussion.
But in Krishna's system is perfect. It's beyond psychic powers, beyond mental powers, subtle powers. So Krishna's always there. I'll finish up. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.